think I'll preach very long tonight, but I do want the Lord to have his way in this house. I really mean that. And church, if there ever was a time where we needed a move of God inside of our churches, inside of our families, inside of our own lives, it's now. We're living in the lengthening shadows of the last days. And friend, tell me, things are changing very, very rapidly. We better make sure that our calling and election is sure. Genesis 3 and 1 this evening. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Interestingly enough, Satan does not tempt her to go down. Satan tempts her to go up. I mean, if Satan can't push you down, Satan will push you higher, huh? Let me give you one more verse, please, here tonight. If you would, turn with me to John chapter number 8. In verse 44, just one verse here. John 8 and 44. God's word reads like this. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. I want to preach tonight for just a few moments. I want just a real simple message here tonight, but I hope it helps somebody in this house. I want to preach on the weeds and seeds of Satan. You going to help me tonight? Let's slip up our hands to heaven and ask the Lord to have his way in this house. Father, I thank you, Lord, for you're a mighty good God. I thank you, Lord, that you know the beginning from the end, and your will is perfect, and yea and amen. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that you would reach way down, Lord, and anoint every word spoken, everything done in this house. Lord, let your word go forth and not return void. Let it prevail. Let it multiply tonight. And I give you praise and glory and honor, for it's in the name of Jesus that we do pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand that's sitting close beside you or standing and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in God's house. You can shake your wife's hand. That's legal. You can do that. It's been too long since some of you have done that. He's going to wind up buying flowers on the way home, ain't he? Now, beloved, hear me tonight. In this one amazing verse that we read in John chapter number 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus reveals to us the two primary strategies of Satan. Number one, he is a murderer. Number two, he is a liar. That is what Satan desires for every church. That is what Satan desires for every home. That is what Satan desires for every life. He is a murderer. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's come to kill freedom out of every service. He's come to kill joy out of every heart. He's come to kill unity out of every family. That's what Satan desires. Satan desires death in your life. Satan desires death in your spirit. Satan desires death in your family. He is a murderer. It's a culture that's fascinated with death. It's a culture that's fascinated with murder. And by the way, young people, don't get hooked on games that fascinate murder and death. The Bible said the soul that loveth violence, God hates. It's not a culture of death he wants you to have. It's a culture of life. But that's just how does Satan murder? Look at the other side of his tactics. Here's how Satan murders. He is a masterful liar. See, if there ever such thing as a good liar, if I could say, Satan is a good liar. He knows how to lie. He knows when to lie. He knows where to lie. Satan will kill. He does it through lies.
And if Satan can lie to your mind, and Satan can lie to your life, and you believe the lie of Satan, then something will die on the inside of you. Men backslide because they believe a lie. Men compromise because they believe a lie. Men become bitter because they believe a lie. Men walk out on God because they believe a lie. And Satan is such a subtle liar. Satan knows that sometimes the small lies can have a bigger effect than the big lies. Say amen, somebody. Let me ask you a question tonight. Imagine you and I, we had to be somewhere at exactly 9 o'clock sharp. Which is more dangerous? A clock that is 5 hours wrong or a clock that's only 5 minutes wrong? I mean, you know as good as I, that clock's 5 hours off. We're looking at that. We say, wait, it ain't 1 o'clock in the morning. Something ain't right with that clock that's 5 minutes off. It can make a man miss it. Friend, Satan knows. And if he can get a near truth and pull a man away, if he can put small things in, those small thoughts will lead to deeds. You need to guard your mind. You need to guard your heart. You need to guard your life. You need to sanctify your heart unto truth. It amazes me. Help me, Holy Ghost. I know it's the first time here, but just let me get in and preach. It amazes me the number of men and women that focus their mind every day on the lies of the devil and the untruth of the society and never give 5 minutes to the truth of God's word. No wonder they messed up. No wonder they can't worship. No wonder they can't get in. Their mind is filled with confusion. Now, don't nobody raise your hand when I ask this question. But how many of you believe every word in the news? Now, don't nobody raise your hand when I ask this question. How many of you believe every word in the Bible? Now, don't nobody raise your hand when I ask this question. How many of you spend more time listening and reading news that you know is full of lies than truth? Say amen. I'm not saying you have to stick your head in the dirt of every event that's out there in the world, but it's time we come back and say, Lord, sanctify me by thy truth. Let your truth wash me over. Let your word, God, cleanse me again. Let the power of God through the truth of God anoint my life. Can you say amen? Friend, hear me. Sow a thought and you reap a deed. Sow a deed and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Satan does not have to make a man do wrong. He just has to make a man think wrong. Eventually that man will wind up doing wrong. It's exactly right, Pastor. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And man, it's bitter with God. It's because something got in right here. It started right here and moved its way all the way down to here. That man that walked out on the Lord, that lady that walked out on God, help me, Holy Ghost, somewhere or another, something got inside of their mind and they didn't guard it. They didn't watch out for it. They didn't fortify their mind with the word of God. And before you know it, death took place in their life. Mr. James Allen wrote these words. I wrote them down. Said these words. I wrote them down. He said, a man's mind may be likened unto a garden which may be cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth something. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce after their kind. If you don't put God's word in your heart, if you don't put the scripture of God in your mind, Satan will have a heyday with every thought you have. You're either going to put something good in there, or you're going to put some... You know what? You don't have to go out of your way to try to put something evil in there. Just don't put something good in there. You know... As far as I know, and never one time is my precious wife, never one time has Erica said, honey, what are you doing? I'm fertilizing our ragweed, honey. I'm planting dandelions.
things come up. Them things, I thought I got every last one of them last spring. Them things come up. You ain't got to do nothing to them but that. And friend, if you don't do nothing, I can assure you, there's going to be a seed of Satan. There's going to be a weed of bitterness. There's going to be something that gets inside of that. You got to take control of it. You got to say, Lord, whatsoever things is true, whatsoever things is honest, if they just let me think on thee. It's one thing for Satan to attack your body. But friend, when Satan attacks your mind, watch out. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. And I'm concerned with what men are allowing into their ears and what men are allowing into their eyes, because what they don't realize is what you allow in your ears and what you allow in your eyes is what your mind will dwell on. Slog, and I remember I was there in Sudan, and of course there's no airport there. It's just that little dirt landing strip, you know. And we flew in, and I got in that little Jeep, and we're going to that base camp. Brother Tolliver, while I'm driving to that base camp, I see these ladies as they start crossing the road. But those Sudanese ladies, those ladies aren't walking normally, gracefully, like a lady would normally walk. But the Burgess, when they would walk, they would buckle their neck like an old cow would. Every step they'd make, saints, every one of them. And I said, do you see that? And the man next to me said, do you know what that is, Brother Zane? I said, I think I know what that is. I'm not saying that those women are Hindus. That's not what I'm saying. But I can assure you, those women worship that cattle. They've stared at that beast for so long that they begin to take on the attributes of the beast that they stared at. You can't take in this world and not expect it to be ingested or infected with this world. You can't stare at the ungodliness of the society and it not have an effect on your spirit. Say amen. You always become what you behold. And if it's trash, you're going to be filled with trash. If it's ungodliness, you're going to be filled with ungodliness. But if it's pure, if it's true, turn your eyes to Jesus. He'll make a new man out of you. They give themselves to that. And Satan puts seeds in their mind and weeds in their mind. And he lies to them and they die. Brother James, I was there one time and a young man told me, he said, Brother Estes, he said, there's a certain tribe over in India, and when their boys get about 13 years old, whenever they want to become men, here's what they do. They lay down flat and another man will take a razor sharp rock and begin to make little slits all the way into the back of that young boy's back in kind of an oval shape. And then when he lays down, he'll smear mud all into that and let it get real good and infected. And after about 3 or 4 days, those wounds will begin to raise as they heal up. And when you look at the back of one of those young men, it looks just like the back of a crocodile. And I asked that young man, I said, does that tribe worship crocodiles? He said, yeah, they sure do. How'd you know that, Brother Zane? It's easy. You always become what you behold. If you listen to the lies of this world, you're going to fall into the lies of the devil. Say amen, somebody. I said, Satan is a master liar. He knows how to lie to your life. He knows how to lie to your family. He knows how to stare at pure faith and lie against it and try to make you believe a lie. And if Satan would want to lie against you for one thing, hear this, church. Satan would want to lie against you about the biggest subject of all. Satan would want to lie to your mind about God. That's exactly right. Satan would want to lie to your mind about God. He looks at the woman, and in verse number 1, it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made, and said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's not what God said. And young person, hear me tonight. Satan wants to lie to your mind and make you think
severely of God. Really? God made this whole beautiful garden. And God said, you can't eat of any tree inside this garden. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. And Satan screams in your ear, if you serve God, why, it's just a road of misery. It's just a road of drudgery. There's no joy in that. It's like taking bad medicine. Friend, hear me, to serve God, it's not a drudgery. It's a delight. It's joy. I said, it's joy. It's peace. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. It's a great thing to be saved. Somebody say amen. Eve, God made all this. And he's just tantalizing you with it. And says you can't do anything. Well, Brother Zane, wasn't there one tree? Said, don't touch it, or don't eat of it, rather. God said, don't eat of it. And you do realize every time you ever hear God say, thou shalt not, here's what God's really telling you. Don't hurt yourself. I love you. Don't hurt yourself. I love you. If you do that, you're going to die. If you do that, they'll be right. Every time God says, thou shalt not, it's not so he can smile and say, look how miserable they are. He's saying, you don't know what's on the other side. You don't know the pain that's out there. You don't know the addiction that falls. You don't know the regret that's there. Don't hurt yourself. Well, it's just my pastor trying to keep me from it. It's just these people. Oh, it's just them trying to keep you from death. Trying to keep you from regret. Trying to keep you from sorrow. But you miss out on so much. Yes, you do miss out on so much. You miss out on regret. You miss out on disease. Say amen. Hey, beloved, I've missed out on being addicted to drugs. Thank God. I have missed out on ever having an illegitimate child. And thank God, I ain't even got to worry about it. By the grace of God, he has kept me. Can you say amen? God says, don't do that because it will hurt you. And you're in this house tonight, and you're thinking it's God trying to keep something from you. And it's really God trying to keep something for you. Oh God, don't be severe against him. He cares for you. He loves you. He knows what, and he even knows when. Well, why does God bless him and him and him with this and this and this, but God don't bless you? You wonder why God don't bless you with it? Because he knows you can't handle it yet. There are some things you just can't handle. I heard a man say this one time, and oh, it made me so mad. And the more I listened, I said, yeah, he's probably right. Man said one time, God has already blessed most of us with just about all the money we can handle. Ooh, boy, that got tight. He said, not me, Brother Estes. You better search your own soul. Friend, hear me. I'm not against God increasing you. I thank God for it. I thank God for when God does bless us. But if you don't put God first in the little things, you won't put him first in the big things. And the Lord knows there's some things you cannot handle. And if you hadn't been faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. But if you've been faithful in little, God says, I can bless them. I can pour it out upon them. I can touch their life. They have been faithful to me, and I will pour out my blessings to them. I remember a while back, my little baby girl, Shay. I got a Savannah, an Ashlyn, an Annalise, and little Shay. And little Shay picks up a pencil from Savannah. And the end of that little, this is a pen, I'm sorry, work with me, okay? And that end of that pencil is as sharp as it could be. And that little 8-month-old girl is doing just like this. And those little motor skills of how to hold something ain't there. And the dad raises up in Zane Thomas, you know. And I just ease right on over there to Baby Shay. And I see that little pencil in her hand. And I say, no, no, no. No, no, no. And little Shay turns around and she goes, and her little eight-month-old mind, she's saying, why did that man take away my favorite toy? But what she doesn't realize is mercy. That could poke her eye out. That could hurt her. I love that girl. I care for that baby girl. I'm going to watch out for her. And if I have to take something away, it's because I love her. Hey, beloved, he gives. He takes away. You need to keep loving God. I've seen people get bitter at God because he took something away. And God says, you're just not ready for it yet. I don't mind blessing you with it. There'll come a day. There'll come an hour. But not right now. Well, but there's some things I don't understand, friend. There's some things I don't understand. And we ain't never going to be able to understand. But God hasn't required us to try to understand. I don't live my life by explanations. I live my life by promises. Friend, hear me. One tree in the middle of it. And God says, I'm keeping you from that because you don't need it. One day God may bless you with it. But if God doesn't, it's time tonight you pull up the weeds and seeds that Satan has tried to put in your mind over it. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a worthy God. He said in Psalms 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The Lord said in 84:11 of Psalms, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He knows how to bless. He's trying to get things to us, not trying to keep things from us. Shake your mind. Shake your heart. Now listen, friend. Satan ain't gonna lie to you about big things. He knows you're too inept in the word. Satan will lie to you about small things. I mean, Satan is not gonna walk up to you tomorrow for the most part and say, you know what? I think all the rest of us ought to be atheists as well. No, you're a little too clever for that. Isn't that amazing? Brother Tolliver, isn't it amazing? We got guys with PhDs making $135,000 a year teaching people that men came from monkeys. You know, there's always, well, you know, natural selection. Here we start with the monkey. And, you know, of course, he's all the way. And then you just raise up a little bit. There's that. That's the Piltdown man. And then he raises up a little bit more. That's the Neanderthal man. Have you seen that little picture, you know? And all of a sudden you have this upright walking man. And when we go, well, wait a second. Where's the Neanderthal? Where's the Piltdown? They always go, well, natural selection eliminated everything inferior. And I'm looking at that. I'm going, what about the monkey? Why is the, I mean, if there's anyone that's going to go, it's going to be the monkey. Well, come on here. I mean, a child can see through that. A baby can see through that. Hey, Satan knows he can't get that lie away with you. Satan knows. And Satan looks at you and says, what has God ever done for you? It's like that, Brother Slog, it's like that little girl
Her daddy was a street preacher out there one day. And she's just there saying, "Preach, Daddy, preach." And this skeptic walks up and he hears that man preach. And he's got that scoffer's look in his eye. He's sitting there smacking on his bubble gum like he could care less. By that time he looks down and sees that little girl say, "Preach," to her daddy. He says, "Oh, you're one of those Jesus changed my life people, are you?" And she smiled and she said, "He sure did for Daddy." And he said, "Well, are you going to tell me that you've seen Jesus turn water into wine?" And she thought for a moment. And she said, "Well, sir, to be honest with you, before Daddy got saved, Daddy spent all of his money on alcohol, and we didn't have nothing. And since Daddy got saved, we got everything we need. So I reckon I ain't never seen him turn water into wine, but I have seen him turn whiskey into furniture." Hallelujah! He's a good God! He's a good God! He's met my need! He's healed my body! He's touched my life! Somebody ought to give God the praise for being a mighty good God! Say amen! He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. I got to preach on tonight. I'm sorry I'm preaching a little too long. Forgive me, please. Satan wants you to think severely about God. Satan wants you to think skeptically about God. In verse number 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees of the garden, the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, you can almost hear him sarcastically chuckle, "Ye shall not surely die." A nation can turn away from God and not be turned into hell. Wrong. You can live with your pet sin and then not finally catch up with you. Wrong. You can sow unfaithfulness into your family and reap nothing. Wrong. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Friend, there's a side of God, and we have to understand we're not to think severely of God. But there's another side of God, and God's word tells us tonight we are not to think skeptically of the Lord. His word is yea, and it is amen. It is truth, and it is right. And men must abide in his word. You can't take on this world and still have the genuine anointing of God on your life. Oh God. Beloved, hear me tonight. I fear for my nation. I fear for this country. We're not at a crossroads anymore. We are headed toward a judgment. Listen, you say, "Brother Zane, you mean to tell me nobody can..." I believe we can repent. But if this nation as a whole doesn't turn around, there's judgment that's coming to this land. There's judgment that's coming to our cities. There's judgment that's coming. You think, "Well, Brother Estes, it's only going to happen in New York City or Washington, D.C. Dear mercy, it can happen in your back door, beloved. Friend, hear me. When a nation turns from God, God said it turns itself into hell. And we can redefine it. We can legislate it. We can even pass it. And it's still a sin in the eyes of God. Abraham Lincoln looked at a young boy one day. And he said, "Son," he said, "how many legs does that dog have?" And the little boy looked. He said, "He has 4 legs, sir." He said, "Right. Now let's just say we call the tail a leg. How many legs does this dog have now, son?" And the little boy looked. He said, "Well, sir," he said, "that dog has 5 legs." And Mr. Lincoln looked and he said, "No, son. The dog has 4 legs, no matter what you call the tail. No matter what they want to call it, it's still sin." Say amen. No matter what they want to, it's still sin. It's a sin in the eyes of God. They may walk through our doors. They may say it's a hate crime. They may shut this place down and throw every one of us into prison. But we'll say, "I trust God anyway." Where do these come from? They come from the mastermind of Satan himself. Young person, hear me. If you listen to the lies
that's being spoken across airways today, you will believe it. And God's word said you'll be damned. I had a young, Brother Tolliver, just the other night, I had a young man come to me. And he said, Brother Estes, he said, I'm really fascinated in atheism. I want to start studying atheism. And I looked at him and I said, don't. Here's why you don't need to start studying that. Because God's word said, be simple concerning evil. I'm not saying you can't ever read up on anything like that, but here's what God's word is trying to apply to our life. In the proportion that you know and study and ingest God's word, that's how much of a proportion you could study something else. Brother Estes, I want to study Buddhism. I want to study Islam. I want to study... No. Study God's word. Put your heart in God's word. Enjoy God's word. Live God's word. Love God's word and fear God's word. Boy, we don't hear much of that preached anymore, do we? Isaiah said, the Lord walks with those men that tremble at his word. Friend, there's two reasons. I'm trying to close. There's two reasons I serve God. Number one, I love him. Brother Armbrister, number two, I fear God. I fear God. I fear God, Brother Slogan. I've seen what happens. God doesn't even have to put a curse. All God has to do is remove his hand. God doesn't have to take away breath. God just has to quit giving breath. I've seen there in those third world countries, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is a cursed land. It's a cursed place. I could look as far as that eye could see and the drought would be there. Locusts by the thousands, if not tens of thousands, would come by and settle on that little plot of dirt and eat whatever ounce of vegetation there was and leave again. Friend, we're blessed in America, not because we've got Democrats and Republicans coming up with great ideas. We're blessed because there's been a handful of believers that's interceded to God Almighty and said, have mercy upon our lands and bless our crops, oh God, and meet our needs, oh God. I'm closing. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan doesn't look at her. He says, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to live like an alley cat. You're going to have the morals of a dog. Satan says, you know what? You could go down to that little church, but I don't think you're reaching your potential in life. And you know, if you would just start rubbing shoulders and elbows with some of the uppity-ups and in-ins, well, you probably would get that contract. You probably would get that promotion. If you would quit being so sanctimonious and just enter right in there. Listen, you don't have to say the dirty jokes. All you got to do is laugh at them. And they'll think you're one of their own, friend. Hear me. Satan wants you to think suspiciously of God. Satan wants you to think that God is trying to keep you from your full potential. Satan wants you to think there's a better route and a better way and a better road. And honey, there ain't no better way than this old time way. There ain't no better road than a tried and true path to God. And Satan's talking to your mind tonight. He's saying, if you would just turn and just let up, you could be let in all the circles. You, friend, hear me right up here, guy in the white shirt. There's some circles you better thank God you never got in. Thank God there's some circles that never took me in. I'll never forget the story, and you've heard it threadbare times, I'm sure. Brother Bill Parks, when he was a teenage boy, he told me, Brother Zane, I got running with the wrong crew. And he said, I was in a car with them on Halloween night, and we was going out, and it was about dark time. And he said, I'd seen Daddy coming up in that truck, and I knew Daddy didn't know what vehicle I was in, but I could spot Daddy's truck. And he said he went by, and as soon as he went by, he kind of let the breath out of his lungs and looked in that rearview mirror, and about that time he noticed Daddy put the brakes on.
He said, Daddy swung around that truck. He said, Daddy tracked us down. We tried out. I told those boys, floor it, run it, get away from it. He said, Daddy caught right up with us, and them boys was foolish enough to pull right on over. And said, old Brother Parks got out of that truck, pointed his finger, and said, the Holy Ghost told me my boy's in that car. Brother Parks told me, he said, I got out. He said, I was so embarrassed I couldn't stand. And from that point on, said, them boys shunned me. I never was in their circle. 3 weeks later, he said, I was a coon hunting one night. I was close to the road. He said, I heard the awfulest sound. And a few minutes later, he said, I heard an ambulance. When we got there and we went up and saw what that accident was, it was every one of them boys in that car. And he said, if Daddy wouldn't have gotten me, I'd have still been in that circle and I'd have been in hell with them tonight. Hey, beloved, you better thank God that you got a mom and daddy that have kept you out of some things. Hey, beloved, you need to get over that suspicious spirit that thinks mom and dad is against you. They ain't against you. They're not against you. They're for you. They want to see you live right. They want to see you live holy. They want to see you pure. Say amen. Take it out of your mind that they are against you. Take it out of your mind that he's against you. I'm talking to somebody in this house. I said, it's a seed. It's a weed. It's Satan's. You need to get it out and say, devil, you a liar. Devil, you a liar. Devil, you a liar. Ain't nobody in this church against me. Lord, they're for you. We're for you. God's for you. Get back in this thing and live right. Say amen. You can help me, somebody. Stand with me all over this house tonight. It started small, but it started to grow. And little by little, every day, your mind popped up a new one. And here's another one, and here's another one. And it grows, and it grows. And like a tumor on the brain, it has tentacles that begins to wrap around your thoughts and mind. I'm telling you, the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. And he's saying, get it out. Get it clean. Get it pure. Come back to living right with God. You can start anytime you'd like, sister. I'm telling you, when you start believing that preachers are against you, churches are against you, evangelists that ain't ever laid eyes on you are against you, that's a lie. That's a lie. They ain't against you. They ain't against you. It's a lie. That lie will lead to death unless you take care of it. Are you hearing me? God's talking to somebody in this house tonight. You say, God has forsaken me, Brother Zane. God doesn't. Yes, God is willing. Hear me, beloved. There's no promise too hard for God to keep. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. There's no person too hard for God to save. If you would believe God. You can start anytime you'd like, sister. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our hearts are open. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, you said truth make men free. Truth makes men free. Oh, God, let somebody believe truth tonight. Let somebody believe truth tonight. Let somebody believe truth tonight. Let somebody, God, break free from the lie that's ripped around their heart. Let somebody break free from that room of depression that was brought because Satan lied to their mind. You're in this house tonight, and you say, Brother Estes, Satan has been battling my mind. God wants to help you tonight, friend. He doesn't just give peace. He gives peace that passes all understanding. He doesn't give joy. He said, I give joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you're in this house, and Satan's warred on your mind. even to the point where you lay down on your pillow at night and you know the attack of the enemy is warring on your last thoughts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, but I want you to be honest with God tonight, friend. You say, Brother Estes, that's me tonight. Hell's been coming against my mind, and I want God's touch. If that's you, slip up your hand to heaven and say, that's me. God bless you and you. God bless you, friend. God bless you. That's thank you. Come on, others in this house. You be honest with God. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Come on, you be honest with God tonight. The Lord knows and He cares. He's not trying to leave you out. He's trying to bring you in. Thank you, friend. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Somebody else quickly. Friend, if you don't believe truth, then you will believe a lie. There is no neutral ground. You'll either believe truth or you'll believe a lie. One more time, as the eyes of the Spirit of God are in this house, and I would never try to separate you. I promise you don't know me good enough, but these men, they can vouch. I would never try to embarrass you for the life of me. I'd never do that. But I want you to be honest with God tonight. Satan's had a war against my mind. One other person, quickly raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. I want God's touch. Thank you, son. God bless you. Friend, there were many hands that were raised for many different reasons in this house tonight. But I'm going to ask every last one of us that would, can we slip out from where we're standing? Can we come in around these altars and can we begin to ask God to do a work in our life and to set hearts free? Come on, all the way from the back to the front, let us come. Let us call upon Him. Let us look into Him. Let's believe God tonight.